Good afternoon. It is time. Time for Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. We are excited to be with you today, as always. It's going to be an amazing show. We just drove through a real terrible rainstorm around here in Tampa Bay. That doesn't happen that often that it's that bad, and it was. So, anyway, we are safe and sound in the studio now, and it has stopped raining, Nan. I'm glad. Are you glad?
Well, I'm glad because not only did we drive in it, you know, I was out of my car trying to find an umbrella before it hit, and it hit while I was trying to find my umbrella.
Oh, so you got soaking wet.
Which I never did find my umbrella, and realized it's at the office. Three of them are at the office, so.
It's a great place for them.
It's a great place for them.
Yes.
Three people can walk out.
Now you know where they are.
I do know where they are. One's at home, so
yeah.
I have four.
Okay, you got four. Well, that's good.
And there's one more missing, but
I have five. Wow. Yeah. You're very blessed to have five umbrellas.
I'm blessed.
Betty will be along and join us, Nan and I, here in just a few minutes. Nan, you're finally feeling much better, and we're so glad. We prayed for you for quite a while. You've really had a whole lot of bronchial issues, haven't you?
It's been pretty bad.
Right.
It's so great to receive healing from our wonderful Heavenly Father, you know, because you guys were praying for me, and, you know, it was impacting church attendance because you can't be around people coughing, even though, well, we didn't know I wasn't contagious. We didn't know for sure what I had at first. So it's like you got to stay away from people when you're coughing. You know, it turned out to be chronic bronchitis, which is not contagious. So that's a good thing. You know?
Right.
I verified with my doctor to make sure. And he said no. And it's nice to be feeling better again. It really kind of kicked me down there a little bit.
It can kick you, can't it?
It can kick
you. Yeah. So we're glad you're back with us, and we have missed you on the air, and
it's been a little while. It's been a while.
Yeah. So we got a lot going on at Beacon of Hope, and I just happened to just have gotten the hiccups. So, Nan, tell them what we're doing.
We are opening our new church 2 weeks from today.
May
19th, and people have rallied together. In a cohesive group and have worked together to prepare the building for everyone to be able to come and join us on the 19th.
Absolutely. And for any of you out there in the Tampa Bay area that don't have a church home, we don't want to take people away from another church, but if you don't have a church home that you regularly attend, we welcome you to Beacon of Hope Ministries. Even if you're in another country and you'd like to come to us from today, of course you can't. I understand that. But we have some exciting things going on and a brand new facility in Clearwater, 2058 Weaver Park Drive. Dr. Angel, who is not only on this show with us from time to time, but also on the Thursday night Go Yard show with me all the time. That's our life coaching counseling show. She has a brand new private practice. She's a PhD licensed mental health counselor, counseling individuals and training counselors. And so the front of our building will be her facility, and you go back to the rest of it is ours. Ours is bigger than hers, and it's all together, but it's all together. Yeah. Anyway, all good. We're excited about what God is doing, aren't we, Nan? I mean, it's been a labor of love. I mean, you bought lunch yesterday for all the people working, and that was very sweet of you, and a lot of people painting and laying, mm-hmm. laying flooring and hanging walls, drywall. I mean, it's been crazy.
It's been pretty wild, but, it's kind of cool to see it coming together.
Isn't it?
It's like you have a vision.
Yeah.
This is our building. Here's what we want it to look like.
Sure.
And then you start working together as a well-tuned team.
Right, it's a team.
Of people who love and care for each other, and everyone just kind of finds their niche and finds their spot.
Find their niche.
What we need to do, and, you oversee, of course, what is happening.
Exactly.
And, it's just, and then to see it coming together, because we were just there today.
We were just there.
And seeing it coming together, And I must put in a little plug. This is exciting to me. We found a fantastic little restaurant in the same parking lot as our parking lot. So it's like,
it's amazing?
Cool.
And isn't it good?
Great food. That's
right on Hercules
today.
In Clearwater. Yes. Very, very good. So, yeah, I think they'll be getting to know us pretty well here because we all kind of like to go eat,
We do like to go eat.
Yeah, it seems that way, right? So anyway, we're excited. So mark your calendars if you're in the Tampa Bay area and would like to join us on May 19th, 2 weeks from today. We welcome you to our facility. Service starts at 10 a.m. On that day, we will be also having lunch there with sandwiches, salads, desserts. So we welcome you to just stay with us for lunch. That would be great. Get acquainted. If you don't know any of us, it's a perfect time to get to know us. We're kind of an eclectic group of people, a diverse group of people, I would say. Don't you think, Nan? I mean, we have different, we have black, we have Latino, we have white, we have gay, we have straight, we have just anybody, young, old, whatever, you are welcome to come and join us. No discrimination in any way.
And that's what's really cool about that, because I have been to churches in the past that... If someone of a certain, I'm just going to be honest here, someone of a certain color were to walk in the church,
sure.
They were like, I'm thinking back in my teenage years, I'm now 56, 57.
Yeah, that's a long time ago. You remember back that long?
I can't, except that I do remember that it was kind of frowned upon and discussed. And that's ridiculous. That's not the way Jesus walked the face of the earth. He loved everybody. He reached out to everybody. And that's
Amen.
What Beacon does.
Amen.
Is we're there, regardless of where you're coming from. It's where healing happens.
Where healing happens. It's right on the door. And, we also really believe that the chains of discrimination need to be broken. Okay,
yes.
The chains of bigotry, the chains of bias, prejudice, hatred, they need to be broken. And Beacon of Hope has always been a place, well, our slogan has been forever, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. It's all about the Word of God. We're in our 18th year as a ministry. It's not a brand new ministry. It's just a new facility for us. And so we've been at times through the years large. We've been very small. But you know what? God has continually stayed right with us, hasn't he, Nan, to see us through every bit of change that we've gone through.
He's been there, and of course I've been going to the church long enough to have seen some of those changes, and he's just really, he's blessed the ministry. People have been healed, they have been restored.
Absolutely.
Back to their relationship with
yes.
Jesus Christ.
Yes, yes.
I just thought something, they learn to love themselves
again.
Amen. There's some people come in that they don't love themselves.
Right.
And we love on them.
Right.
And what happens, they see the love of God in our lives.
Yes.
And we can reach out to them when they see that. And,
Amen.
And they'll be healed. They'll love themselves again.
Absolutely.
And that's really important because
that's
if
huge.
You don't love yourself, I don't know why I'm saying this.
No,
if
it's
you don't
for
love
someone.
Yourself,
for someone, who knows?
You can't love anybody else.
No.
Until you really love yourself, you cannot truly love anybody. You may think that you love them, but it's not a true deep love unless you love yourself.
Oh, absolutely. And we've got great music that brings those points home. So you want to come and join us 2 weeks from today. We'd love to have you 10 a.m. Stay for lunch with us. And then, of course, we always have our Sunday afternoon show right here in Clearwater, not far from our facility. Well, kind of. Facility's right off of Hercules between Drew and Sunset Point. For those of you that want a point of reference, 2058 Weaver Park Drive, 2 weeks from today. I'm going to start today with Zach Williams' Chain Breaker because we want to see those chains broken.
Absolutely.
You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. If you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies.
If you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. He's a waymaker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains, oh, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you feel lost, and he's a waymaker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains, he's a chain breaker. Oh, if you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains, oh, he's a chain breaker.
Love that song. I believe we're going to be doing that song the first or second Sunday in our new building, Nan. Love Chainbreaker. It says it all right there. And we all have areas in our lives that we need to have those chains removed, don't we? And we need to see a new day of hope. We need a day of hope and of joy, you know, which so many people need. What were you going to say about that?
I was going to read a two-verse poem.
Go right ahead. God just gave it to you? Hey, that's been a while since we've had a poem come through you.
It has been a while.
This is great.
This is great.
Let's hear it.
He will break those chains which currently hold you bound. You will be so set free and be happy of what you've found. You may think that you don't deserve, that you are so bad and can't be set free. Oh, please understand, my friend. You can certainly of this believe. You know, and in, you know, it kind of goes in line with what I felt led to say earlier. You know, people, you know, sometimes they're bound and they say, well, this was my own making and this is my own fault and I don't deserve to be free. They're just down on themselves. And, you know, I would encourage them, if they're local, come to our church, if they're not attending another church, but wherever they are, to find a church, attend the church, and just start realizing that he will break those chains.
Oh, absolutely. That's what he wants to do, you know? He does not want us to stay bound up in the same things we've always been in. You know, it's time for a new day. And that's what Beacon of Hope is all about. And it's all about hope, too, you know? It's in our name, but it's so true that it's about hope because hope is the anchor of our souls. Hebrews 6:19 says that. And hope is it helps us come out of our despair, our discouragement, or our illness, or our whatever, our emotional hang-up. Hope. God gives us hope. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, hope is the title evidence of things that we can't see yet. But we are hoping and we're believing that God's going to fulfill his promises to us. Because he's a God of promises, isn't he, Nan? He continually fulfills his promises.
And he's made so many promises to our ministry. Yeah, they all been fulfilled.
They have.
Some being fulfilling right now.
Now.
Right now. But in the past, I mean, even in this, he has fulfilled promises already.
Already.
And just keeps promising things regarding the facility. But in the years past, he has made promises to our ministry, and
yes,
we've seen those promises fulfilled.
What does that do to you to know that God fulfills his promises, that he's not a liar?
It builds my faith.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Builds my faith when I see him make a promise and then
yes,
I see him fulfill the promise.
Right.
You know, people sometimes will let you down.
Oh, yeah.
God will never let you down.
No, no.
You know, and what he says he'll do, he'll do. People
yeah,
sometimes tell you, well, I'll do such and such. I'll be there if you need me. And then you need them, and guess what? They're not there.
Yeah.
Or they're being cynical and kind of putting you down. Look what you did. You mm-hmm, served God, and look what happened to you.
Right.
And so he's a God of promise.
Oh, he is. And you know, there's so much that he wants to do in our lives. And so often we are content to stay the way we've always been. You know what I'm saying? We're content to stay with our own hang-ups. We're going to talk about that today in John chapter 20. If you have your Bibles and want to follow along, why don't you grab that? John chapter 20. We're going to talk about what happened that very day that Jesus came out of the tomb. We are concluding our series that we've been in for the last couple months, Alive Forevermore. And the last couple weeks, we've been talking about the resurrection of Jesus and how it changed everybody's lives. Ours today, 2,000 years later, our lives are changed because Jesus is not in a tomb, because he is not just some great teacher that walked this earth and then died. No, he's the risen Lord. And because he's the risen Lord, our lives are changed forevermore. And he is alive forevermore.
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 Absolutely.
Boy, we have a lot to talk about. Mm-mm-mm.
We do.
Absolutely. So let's get to John chapter 20. Betty will join us very soon. In verse 19 of John chapter 20, this is the day of the resurrection, and it was later on in that same day, that Sunday, that same day. He actually came out of the tomb on Saturday night, just a little after sundown, probably around 6 p.m., maybe 1 second after 6 p.m., but that's when he came out of the tomb. So this is on Sunday, later in the afternoon on Sunday. The disciples had gathered together, but fearful of the Jews. Let's mark that word fearful in your Bible if you're following along in your Bible. They were afraid. What were they afraid of? They were afraid of their own people, the Jews. Why? Because the Jews had crucified Jesus. The Jews had been on a huge campaign to really try their best to catch Jesus in some kind of blasphemy. And they also were not happy with the disciples and accusing them each, like Peter, of being with Jesus, and they'd gathered together, but they were fearful of the Jews, so they had locked all the doors in the house. That's a lot of fear, because evidently it was not customary for them to lock all the doors. Since it's mentioned here, it tells me that this was not something they normally did, Nan, that they locked everything up. They were afraid for their lives. Other scriptures said that the disciples were afraid. They were.
Well, I mean, can you imagine how they felt? Jesus, their Messiah, who did so many wonderful miracles, who made
right,
so many promises, who fulfilled those promises and took care of people and blessed people, was killed.
Right.
You know, and then they didn't know what to expect. They didn't
yeah,
know, you know, they didn't know what to expect. They figured that the bad guys, the Jews, would be after them
sure,
too. So, of course, they hovered down in a room and just kind of talked back and forth amongst themselves, I'm sure, of when are they going to come get us?
Yeah, when are they going to come get us? You know, with that in mind, how many times do we find ourselves in situations? Betty's on the line. That's great. How many times do we find ourselves in situations where we are afraid of the circumstances around us? Maybe afraid that somebody will leave us. Maybe afraid we'll lose a job. Maybe afraid of you can't pay bills. Whatever the case may be. The disciples here in John chapter 20, beginning in verse 19, they were afraid. So they locked themselves in a house. But you know what? Locks on doors and windows cannot stop the resurrected Lord. Can I get an amen on that, Betty and Nan?
Amen.
Amen, sister. Amen.
Hey, Betty.
Hey, Nan.
Welcome. We're glad
how
you're here.
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
We're doing good.
We're excited. We've had an amazing day, Betty. Great service and just a lot. It's just been a great day. Really good day. So Jesus walks right in. It says he entered. And since all the doors were locked, it doesn't say that anybody unlocked the door for him. And later on in this chapter, we find out he walked right through the wall. So his resurrected body gave him the ability to walk right through the wall. So Jesus enters and he stands there and he says, the first thing he says to them is, peace to you. And, you know, this cannot be taught enough, that the first thing the resurrected Lord says to his disciples is peace. I give you peace. Now, we know that back in Isaiah chapter 9, it was prophesied that the wonderful counselor was coming, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the amazing Father. Do we remember all that? In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it was prophesied through the prophet Isaiah that one day the Messiah would come and he would be all four of those things. The amazing Father, you know, the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, all of it. The Eternal Father, all of that. That's who he was and that's who he is. And Jesus, the Prince of Peace, walks through the doors or the window or somewhere. He just walks through the wall and he says, peace to you. Talk to us, Betty. Woo! That's pretty good to be the first words he says to his disciples. Peace, well, peace, right?
Peace, wonderful peace.
Amen.
Coming down.
Amen.
One of the things I think that he knew is that they could have been a little bit, you know, disgruntled. They could have been worried.
Yeah, they were worried and afraid, I think. Worried and afraid.
Yeah. What are we going to do now?
Yeah.
What are we going to do now? And that's why, you know, when the Messiah walks in and goes, peace, you know, I would fall to my knees.
Right.
I would literally just, you know, I would just totally collapse in front
right,
of him. But
exactly.
I think that, you know, that's what God is. He is.
Yes,
peace.
He is.
The Holy Spirit brings that to us whenever we are in a quandary.
Right.
Or we're worried or fearful. That's what God brings us. It's
peace.
What better word to come out of his mouth than
the first word? What I mean, obviously, Betty, he knows how we as humans tend to overreact and react emotionally and get afraid and get just full of anxiety. For him to say peace to you, the first thing that's what he says, I think that's profound, frankly.
Well, he is a miracle worker.
Right.
Period. And
right.
So whenever he knows that, you know, we're anxious or we're fearful.
Right.
Or, you know, we have maybe our mind is just wandering, you know,
right,
not where it should be. Is that what the Holy Spirit does? And that's
exactly
why, you know, Jesus said to them, you know, peace. I'm here. Peace.
Peace.
And you know, that word, you know, we take that word so much for granted, but that word means so much, through the scriptures. But when Jesus says it, wow.
Yeah, wow.
You know,
right?
I mean, that's one of those wow moments or those aha moments is when the Savior says peace, he means it.
Well, a few days before that, in the end of John chapter 16, he said to the disciples, peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, do I give it unto you. You know, let not your heart be troubled, right? He says, you know, don't be over anxious. Don't be concerned. Just take his peace. And I think, Nan, here's the problem with a lot of well-meaning Christians. They don't realize that the peace is there for them. They just see their issues, their problems. They feel like, where is God anyway when I need him? And on, when God wants to give us peace in the midst of the trial.
He certainly will give it to you. My most recent, if I may share, my most recent situation with peace was regarding my job situation. and I needed to, I was working, but I needed to find a job because they were going to demote me, and with no just cause. And God kept saying, peace, I'm in control. Don't you worry about it. I'm in control. Don't you worry. 8 months looking for a job. Interviews, testing. Don't worry. I'm in control. Got a job. Great job. Fantastic job. One of the bosses didn't like me. They moved me. And so we went through this move for a couple times temporarily, here, there, whatever. And God kept saying, you are going to be okay. God kept saying, I'm going to give you the best boss you've ever had. You're going to be okay. Trust me. I will give you peace. And in the midst of that, and y'all saw me through that, you know, and in the midst of that, he gave me peace. He gave me peace right in the midst of not knowing what was going to go.
He does.
And he gave me peace. And I've now been in the same position for 7 months. I have the best boss I have ever had in my entire career. God did a big one when he did that one.
Well, praise God.
He gave me peace. And the peace that he gave me,
yeah,
he will give anybody else.
Absolutely. It's free. Peace is free.
Absolutely.
We just have to take it. You know, it's like on TV, you say, oh, call right now for your free gift, you know. Well, you don't have to call any 800 number. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to jump through hoops. You just got to believe that you can have the peace that God offers you. And the disciples had to believe it also. Betty, talk to us about this free gift before we do this next song.
Well, and it is free. And all we have to do is what we speak with our mouth is that he listens. And, you know, we've learned this over the last few weeks and months. Is, you know, when we get into, you know, a situation where we become anxious and fearful, you know, God's dealing it out. I mean, he's, you know, the peace that passes all understanding is that sometimes we don't understand the peace that God gives us because Satan still is working on us with fear and worry and anxiety. And God's going, hey, I'm over here.
That's right.
You know, I'm trying to give you peace, but, you know, you're still hanging on to anxiety. You're still hanging on to fear.
Right.
And, you know, there's the light always comes through the darkness.
Right.
And fear and anxiety is part of darkness.
Right.
And once we grab a hold of that light, once we grab a hold of that peace, it's so tranquil.
Yeah.
There's just such an anointing that comes on you when you have the peace that passes
absolutely
when you have his peace.
Absolutely. There is. Listen to this song, God Speaking by Mandisa. Love it.
Tangled up in fear. What if he somehow
Praise God. Love that song. God is speaking to you, dear one. He loves you so very much. You're on his radar. You're the apple of his eye. You're his child if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I love that song by Bandisa. I wrote down a couple lines. He'll use whatever he wants to tell us, I love you. And so often, we're in the midst of, like these disciples, a fearful situation, maybe even a life-threatening situation with disease or whatever it might be. These disciples felt that their lives were being threatened. They were afraid. And Jesus walks through the wall and says, just peace to you. Peace. Nan?
I want to read. I looked up the word peace.
Yeah.
I want to read two parts of the definition.
Please
of
do.
It. One is freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions.
Mm.
And a sample sentence written by Mr. Newman said, I have been in perfect peace and contentment.
Whoa.
Second one was harmony in personal relations. Mm. And the sample sentence was, the sisters are at peace with each other.
Whoa.
And I just love those things about the peace.
That's good.
You know, the second one about personal relations, I'm thinking there again about our church beacon.
Yes.
Beacon of Hope. You know, we have great personal relations with you. I mean, that's my family. I mean, I have family, but my church people, they're my family.
Absolutely.
And I can call on any one of them at any time if I needed prayer or needed support, and they would be there for me.
Absolutely.
And that's peace.
That's good.
Peace.
Thanks for those definitions. That's very good. You know, in this situation right here, these disciples were not feeling peace, obviously, because Jesus walks in and says, peace to you. And he says it again to them a little later. And I mean, it's like, guys, come on. I'm the Prince of Peace. Here you go. You can have this. It's up to you. Or you can stay in your anxiety and your worry and your despair. He took a deep breath, and verse 22 of John chapter 20, and he breathed into them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, he had been teaching them about the Holy Spirit, and about 50 days from then, the Holy Spirit descended on them on the day of Pentecost. I think this was just a preparation time of take peace. You're going to receive the Holy Spirit. Receive what the Holy Spirit has for you, part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then he goes into this very next thing. It's so interesting to me. I think I skipped something. I wanted to make a point, and that was in verse 20 of John 20. Because after he says peace to them, he shows them his hands and his side. So he proves to them that he is the Lord. They look at his nails, scarred hands. They see his side that's got the deep hole in it where the soldiers pushed the sword through his side. So they are convinced at this point, oh, this is him. The master's here, you know? And then he says to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And the very next thing he says, Betty, is this, which I preached about this morning, but I got to start the radio show with this again today because it's heavy on my heart. If you forgive someone's sins, they're gone for good. If you don't forgive sins, what are you going to do with them? And I this morning, the Holy Spirit took me off of where I thought I was going to be, and we talked a lot about the power of forgiveness, that after Jesus says, here's the proof, I am who I say I am. I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I am the Lord and Master, all of that, right? And he proves it with the nail scarred hands, with his side. And the very next thing he says is, you got to forgive. And he says, if you don't forgive, what are you going to do with those things? And I propose today, this morning, and now again this afternoon, what human beings do with sins that other people commit against us and hurt us is we store them so often. What do we store them for? We store them to nurse our resentments or to tell stories about what somebody did, or to add up the sins and the resentments and allow it to become bitterness in our lives. Jesus knows we're human. He created us. He said, if you don't forgive, what are you going to do with those sins? Betty?
That's a pretty deep question, Pastor.
I think it's profound, don't you?
It is. It is very. It's very profound, very deep.
I mean, there's only two things you can do with them, right?
Right.
You can store them, right?
Keep them, store them, or get rid of them.
Well, when we clean out houses, right, or we clean out our garage, yeah. People that are professional organizers say have a pile of things that you definitely want to keep, a pile of things that you might want to give away, and then a pile of things you want to trash, go throw the trash, right?
That's right.
Go ahead.
And because what we have to do is we have a power of discernment when the Holy Spirit comes on us, is that why would you want to hold anger, bitterness, hatred, jealousy? I mean, that's just four things that we can hold on to. Why do you want to keep them? Do you want to continue to sit in misery? Do you want to consider yourself, I'm going to be a drama queen today. I'm going to, things that you said against me, Pastor Marcia, I'm going to hold those against you for the next 21 days, and I may forgive you or I may not. Now, what happens in that circle is stuff begins to happen in your own spirit, is that you become hateful yourself. You become to almost peace starts to disintegrate. Those things that you hold on to do you no good. They serve no purpose. Now, what Satan will do with those thoughts that you want to hold on to, he will take them and he will use them to cause you misery, cause you pain, because the enemy comes to seek, kill, and destroy. Okay, those sins, those things that you hold on to are going to disintegrate you inside, and then it will start to show outwardly of what you're holding on to. And that's what God did, that's what Jesus did on the cross, is so that we could forgive and they would be put into a sea so big of forgiveness that they were never to be remembered again.
Exactly.
So that's what he's trying to say, is maybe in those few days that, you know, he was crucified, he was put in the tomb, that there may have been things that they started conjuring up, you know, the what happened to him. Well, you say this and you say that.
Right.
You know, it was just a meeting of the minds that caused those. Okay, don't hold on to these. I'm here. I'm proof that sins are forgiven because you're the one that put me on that cross.
Right.
Because I died for you. And
right.
It's just, I may have maybe gotten off on a tangent there, but it's just so important to remember what forgiveness is.
Oh.
Forgiveness heals you.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. I mean, I love what Jesus says here. If you don't forgive sins, what are you going to do with them? So if you only have a choice, people, listening audience, you can either forgive or you can stockpile these sins that people do against us, all of us, things they say, things they do, whatever the case may be, attitudes they have. You can either forgive them and let them go, as you said, into the sea of forgetfulness. Psalm 103, verses 10 to 12 says, he has not dealt with us according to our sins. God doesn't do that. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward us. As far as east is from the west, has he removed our transgressions from us. God does not remember. When we confess something as sin, people, it is in the sea of forgetfulness. In other words, it's Psalm 103, 10 to 12. Write that down. These verses will change your life. I'm going to repeat them again because I've committed them to memory many years ago. Psalm 103, 10 to 12. He has not dealt with us according to our iniquities, nor rewarded us our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, think about that. I mean, that's like infinite. So far has he removed our transgressions from us. as far as the east is from the west. I mean, that there's no way to come to the, you know, the, you just go start east and you're going to end up west, right? It just is one big circle globe is. Therefore, that we God doesn't remember all those things. We human beings, that's why Jesus points this out a few hours after his resurrection. He doesn't say, hey, how y'all doing? Let's sit down and have something to eat. You know, man, it's been quite a day. I died a few days ago, but look at me now. I'm a risen Lord. No. He says, peace to you. And then the and he says, look at my nail scarred hands. Look at my side. The next thing he says is, let's talk about forgiveness. If you don't forgive sins, what are you going to do with them? I love that question. That'll preach all day long, Nan. What are you going to do with them?
Well, get rid of them.
Get rid of them.
Get rid of them.
We have to get rid of them, right?
Right.
So forgiveness is, and if you have a paper, write it down. Forgiveness never means that you agree with something that was done to you. This is where a lot of people get so hung up. They believe that to truly forgive, they've got to forget. Mm-hmm. No, we have memories. We remember. They think that to forgive means that we have to go, well, I'm glad that that happened. I'm glad I was raped. No, you're never going to agree that mm-hmm. it was okay that you got raped, for instance. Okay, you're not going to ever agree that somebody cheated on you or that you were swindled out of money. You're never going to go, that was good. I'm glad that happened. No, forgiveness does not mean we agree with what was done. Forgiveness means they don't owe us anymore. We cancel their debt. The debt is canceled. Nan?
Well, I'm reminded of my marriage to my husband. And
which time?
The second time, actually.
Betty, I love the reminder of that.
I was married to him twice.
Okay.
Had a child, the second marriage. He did a lot of stuff to me. A lot of bad legal stuff, just all kind of stuff. And, you know, I'm still really close to God. I was really close to God. I'd spend time in the morning. I'd wake up extra early in the morning to spend time with him before I began my day. It set the tone for the day when I was able to do that. And in my Bible, there's a lot of things written that God lead me to scripture. And I actually saw him about 4 or 5 years at his mother's funeral, which permission was granted that I attend. And it was a weird situation, but it was an okay situation. I was okay with that. You know, it was just weird, but I was fine with that. Then our son got married in December, and we've never discussed it, you and I, even until this second, but, you know, I had forgiven him for all that he's done, but I'm telling you what, when I saw him at that wedding, it was a weird feeling. There again, another weird feeling, because I was like, you know, he really did me wrong. Look at what's happening with, and wait, I've got victory over that. I forgave him over that. Don't pick it up.
That's right. Don't bring her back around.
It's like the emotions were there and the memories were there. And it's like, no, I am not going to accept this.
Exactly.
I am not going to feel this way. I've had victory over this. And I'm going to keep victory over this. I'm not going to pick it back up again and mull over it and chew on it. And no, just let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go. And that's what I chose to do in that situation was just simply let it go.
Hello, my name is...
All the way, my Savior leads.
That is not the song I want, so we're going to change that and come up, because you really need to hear this one. I just pushed the wrong button. Whoa, my fault. Whoa,
my name is Regret. I'm pretty sure we have met. Every single day of your life, I'm the whisper inside that won't let you forget. Hello, my name is Defeat. I know you recognize me. Just when you think you can win, I'll drag you right back down again till you've lost all belief.
Praise God. Woo! Child of the one true king. Talk to us, Betty.
Well, that's what we are. We are a child. We are children of the king. And, you know, that gives us, when we're talking about the forgiveness of sins, it's like a pardon. It's like being released from prison. Like I've never been in jail, so I don't know what it's like, but it would be like, you know, a judge saying, okay, I pardon you of your iniquity, or I'm pardoning you for the
right.
crime that you committed.
Right.
And that's what it's like when we, and I just take, you know, just a personal viewpoint from here, is that there's one person that I have to forgive more than once a day.
Well, we all have people like that in our lives, don't we?
Oh, my. I mean, it's like, okay, I'm going to try to overlook that. But then it starts building up. And
right.
You say, okay, God, help me get rid of this, because, you know, God tells us to forgive, what,
Amen.
Seven times seven, and that's a day. And
well, do you know what it is? Literally in the Greek, Peter says, well, how many times do I have to forgive him? Do I have to forgive him every day? And Jesus said, you forgive 70 times 7, that's 490, times a day per person. So, I mean, that is like Jesus is, in other words, saying, are you kidding me? You got to forgive everything. You know, not like just 7 times or 7 people. No. Talk to us about that, Betty. Go ahead.
Well, and it's something that is ongoing. It never stops. We never, ever not forgive for people that have wronged us. But it's like you said, you know, right before the song, is that you don't have to, it's just like there's one person that I had to forgive, but that doesn't mean that I quantify what they did was right. But
exactly.
What I'm saying is that, okay, I forgive you, but I don't have to be associated with you.
Right.
And I've had to do that on more than one occasion, because if I let it, you know, if I hung around with those particular people, it brings me down. It takes me down into a deeper.
Of course it does. Yes.
A level of where I don't want to be.
Right.
So that's why when God says you forgive, you're actually, the healing starts with you. Because,
Amen.
In a situation where, you know, I found out I was adopted.
Right.
And it hurt, you know, and I could have not forgiven my mom and my dad for not telling me, because they didn't tell me. And so what I did is it was a day or two before my mom actually, you know, went into the arms of the Lord. She was kind of in and out of consciousness. I still think people can hear.
Oh yeah, they can.
Mm-hmm. And I just kind of leaned down and I told her, I said, tonight I found out that I was adopted. But I want you to know, Mom, I forgive you for not telling me. I still love you, but I let go of that
Praise
sudden
God.
Onset of heartbreak and
yeah.
hurtfulness that comes on. Now, I still deal with that today. And that was in 1997.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it keeps coming. You know, the devil will bring things back like that.
Yes.
And that's where, you know, you have to resist and say, no, I'm not taking that back on, because Jesus already forgave me of that. I don't have to accept what you're
Amen.
Telling me. Get thee behind me.
Amen.
He'll do it.
Absolutely, he will.
Do anything to try to bring down,
yes.
you know, a child of God. And we can't let him. We can't let him.
Well, we can't. And when we give and obviously Jesus understands that he made us with emotions. We are spirit, soul, and body, it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The spirit is the part of you that belongs to God when you give your heart to God. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's your personality. That's who you are. Your body is your physical body. When you die, your physical body will go back to dust, whether you're cremated or whether you disintegrate, right, in a tomb. It doesn't matter, but your spirit and your soul will live forever. And that's a teaching we're going to have in a few weeks about all of that. But the point here is that our soul level is our mind and our emotions and our will. And that's where the devil gets into your mind and he attacks, like you've been saying, Betty. And he says, oh, well, you should be more resentful of so-and-so. You should be mad. You can't forgive. And Jesus says right here, the first thing he says, teaches the disciples in his new resurrected body is, you got to forgive. And if you don't, what are you going to do with all that? What are you going to do with these sins? We're going to talk more about this in the second hour. We're glad you're joining us today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. Along with me today, Nan Watson in the studio right here in Clearwater on a rainy day. Betty Thomas in Michigan coming down here in, what, 10 days, my dear friend?
Well, actually, it'll be 10 days after today. So
10 days after right today.
Now, right now, it's 11.
Right now, it's 11. And I pick you up and your daughter, Megan, your wonderful twosome there, at midnight. It's a great time to go to the airport. I love it. I've done it many times.
I do not like flying at night.
Oh, it's kind of restful. You just lay back on your chair, you know, because the seats are so comfortable in airplanes these days, right?
Oh, well, thank goodness that I am vertically challenged because Megan is a lot taller than I am, probably 6 or 7, maybe 8 inches taller. So she kind of has to, you know, kind of accordion herself
right
up in the seats, especially on this particular airline. And it's going to be, I believe, miracles are going to happen, you know, in the next few days, weeks, and months to come. And we've just all got to be prepared.
Oh, yeah. God's going to do great things. Miracles happen when God moves. Does it sound familiar?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Woo!
It's exactly what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
People, you got to be prepared. And I think, you know, the scriptures and stuff that you're talking about is preparing us.
Yes.
Yes. When that miracle happens,
yes.
There is nothing that stands between God and us.
Amen. We want to be clean and clear to hear the master calling. We did that song this morning. I tell you, we did it twice, Betty. Master's calling, Deborah Jo Winans. We love it. And it was just, such an amazing song. So, lots going on for Beacon of Hope right now. It all began about 2 or 3 months ago. As we were believing God for a long time, like a few years, for not only increase, but in a provision for a space that would be adequate for our growing little family. And God saw fit to make that happen. And so we are excited. 2 weeks from today, we will be in our new facility at 10 a.m. for the first service there. 2058 Weaver Park Drive. Write it down. We intend to grow. There is room to grow. So you bring your friends and your family and join us on that day for a mighty day of worship and praise and the word and just who knows what God's going to do. Healing. Says it on the door where healing happens. That's already on the door. Nan, did you want to comment on that?
I did. I want to say we're also going to have a wonderful time of fellowship together with a nice little lunch afterwards. And
yes.
Just give us the opportunity to kind of let you get to know us a little bit,
right?
If you haven't ever been there before, you have been and you're just coming back and there's all new people. We're there. We love people. We love them. And it's going to be a great time of fellowship.
Oh, it certainly is. Along with this amazing ministry facility, in the front will be Dr. Angel's new office. She's a PhD licensed mental health counselor. She's going to begin seeing patients on May the 14th. And in our facility, if you have a pen, I will give you her phone number and you can contact her next week. This week she's out of the country, but next week she will be able to take your phone calls, set up appointments. People are already scheduling with her. Her number is 727-501-6557. I'm going to write it down again for you, or say it again, 727-501-6557. Dr. Angel, if you want to call for counseling appointments, she's working on getting all of her approvals for insurances, but in the meantime, it's private pay. So anyway, God bless you all. We've got a whole lot yet in store in this second hour, so don't go anywhere. We're going to do station ID. Don't forget our Thursday night show with Dr. Angel, life coaching show. It's with me, Mama Mac, and Dr. Angel every Thursday night, 6:06 p.m. right here on this radio station. Love doing that show. It's amazing. Station ID right now.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.